Did it get resolved?
Yeah. Finally, he came and he said, "Well, you know, Ed, you're talking about that you're not into words, but you're the one that's been talking for the last." So Bob Dobbs reasserts himself and takes the reins back from Bob Marshall.
That's right. But the thing is that that's the way it is with Ed. He's so enthusiastic, you have to let him go. You know what I mean? He's funny, and so I step back until he exhausts himself. Then I get to say some things.
Yeah, but you guys are. He's probably one of the best wrestling matches I've heard is, you know, you and him in there.
Yeah, no,
because you know, you fundamentally agree on a lot of things, so you can't really argue with him about things you already agree about on the one hand.
Yeah, and I like the way he mimes and imitates and pushes it. And,
yeah.
You know, he's got seniority. He's been around the longest, so to speak.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm glad. I thought I wanted to get a laughing session on tape, and the last one was okay, but it was more just linear biography. But this we got into what Ed and I do a lot.
Yeah, I think people will like it, and especially, you know, the guys on the website, Foo Fighter and the other guy, they get to hear themselves being invoked, and also the fact that you guys are able to make fun at Ion is good too, because it is only one quarter of the quadrant. People have to remember that.
Yeah. It's sort of one quarter or one fifth, depending on whether you're dealing with four or five.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, the mystery body is. See, actually, I thought of. You know, Ion says, well, we came here because of the contrast, and I thought, well, on a higher level, the contrast, it's the fact that there's tactility between the four quadrants, including the astral plane, which is creating contrast.
Then
he becomes part of the astral plane becomes part of the contrast that we have to deal with.
Yeah, and it's interesting we did this with Ed today, because I was talking to Ion and arguing, saying, well, you know, I was bringing, I don't know how to go into it, but I was pushing him past, you know, past his perspective.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty interesting, you know.
Right.
Probably is the more important fact. I don't know, you know.
Well, I don't know. You know, also this thing. Well, I don't know. You know, if he says you're God, see, to me, God would be the mystery body. And if he says you're God, then whatever is in you that is God is the more important factor than all four quadrants. It's the fifth. It's the fifth element, the mystery.
Right. He says.
See, God, what did you asked the Evergreens? Have you met God? They said no, but we will. Have you asked Ion if he's met God?
I think I never asked him. I think I told him about that answer in the course of a conversation. It came up, and he didn't demur. He understood that.
Yeah, but I mean, he defers to saying, "Well, I'm talking to him. You're God, you know." But
yeah.
Well, you are not God if you're still deliberate. I mean, you may be ultimately God, but the part of you that's conscious is still deliberating about all of these things. So the awareness of God is still precedes our understanding.
Right. So when it says they've been waiting for eons to have this interaction with a good asker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm a top asker in history of thing and of it, or astroplane, interacting with mediums. So he says they've been waiting, and to that degree, we're enhancing them, and we're in the position over here to enhance them. So that's part of God, is the interplay. Both are important. But they tend to want to get over here to create.
Right. And why would that be? Are they bored over on their side without anything to do? I don't even know how. I don't even understand how. Like, for instance, this thing about the tactility and ESP. Well, ESP implies communication. Now, if on the other side they're all one being, there's no communication, so there's no ESP. So
right.
If you're going to equate tactility with ESP, then you can't say that...
Well, if you're going to equate ESP with the non-physical, that's not necessarily accurate.
Yeah.
But if you say the ESP is not tactility, that's where you got to go. The ESP is more towards the non-physical. I would say they are in a world of ESP, but it's, you know, it's sort of beyond that. Well, it's just you can't experience it until you get there. You can't conceive of it.
Yeah, but the thing that I wasn't able to, I still don't know how to formulate it. I tried to get Eon, I tried to probe Eon, and he didn't respond to my words, and I don't even know the words to say it, but I can't understand how Eon, if there's no form or phenomena, there's no energy, matter, we're aware of ourselves because we're inside of a brain and nervous system, and because we live in a world where you know, things do contrast. One thing becomes a metaphor for the viewing of two other things, as it were. And so that's how come we can be conscious and self-aware. Now, without any formal existence whatsoever, and no laws, nothing, what is there? You can't even be aware of yourself. There's no one to be to know about. There's nothing, no thing. I just think it would be an empty void. Yeah.
That's Bob Carr's point.
So therefore, Ion must be subsidiary to that. You know, I mean, whatever Ion must be subsidiary to to a larger God.
Yeah, JW says, don't call me a medium, call me a large.
Right.
Did I tell you that before?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what's interesting. You came in early. Your reading was...
It was number 9, I think.
Yeah, around the 10th or 11th, right on the list over there. But you know, Ed's was the 13th. You were there in the 10th or 11th or something. But there was 10 readings. His was on the 13th, so yours must have been on the... 9th, the 10th, 11th, 12th, Thursday, the 8th, well, let's just look it up. The point is that that's, you know, we've had another month. I've had another month with Ion.
Yeah.
And I think Ion is understanding my, quote, view of the matter more and more. And so what Ion didn't know when you were there, okay, look up your date. Your Sunday... April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
April 12th, which was, I think that's, oh yeah, remember Corinne McClellan's birthday?
Yeah, all right.
For saying that. So what Ion would now understand, I probably already knew, but in a certain linear progression, Ion would now understand why you said to me after, well, Bob, Ion isn't as good as you.
Oh, well, you think so. I mean, Ion hasn't copped to that.
No. When you said that to me, you said, talking to you, Bob, is more fun than talking to Ion.
Yeah.
That's because you had... So you wanted more. You were saying, hey, Ion, give me a lot more. If you're going to be something amazing, you got to outdo Bob.
Right.
Ion may have knew that, but Ion... might understand your expression of that a month later after we've done this interaction. If Ion is pretty close to God, then it knows it all anyways, and is irrelevant. But within the human level, that's where your skepticism was. That you said, well, I've heard all this before, blah, blah, blah. And you were trying to push Ion to another level, but the words and experience you would cite would be Bob, but you couldn't do that during the reading, so it was left in a skeptical posture.
Right, yeah. That in part is true.
It was interesting. You get to hear Ion is talking differently to different people, responding to who they are.
Right.
And that's the advantage of swapping.
Right.
That's what Bob Marshall, when he started listening to my stuff over the last few months, that was his main, he said, the message of Bob is not what Bob says to people. He kind of says the same thing to everybody. It's how he acts with different people. The people determine how he's acting. That's the message of Bob.
Well, yeah, you're less, you're more, actually, what I like about you is that you're more spontaneous and less, I mean, there's a certain predictability about who you are and so on, but you don't get stuck in patterns of repeating the same thought forms, you know, word for word. Like, for instance, you know, I got really enchanted with Terrence McKenna over a period of time, and then he went on, the road, and a lot of his lectures were being taped on the road, and then played on Roy's show. And after a while, I started hearing he had these like pre-worded things that would come into his head, and he would just sort of repeat them. And he became formulaic phrases and he started to become a cliche of himself.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never experienced you fall into that. You stay alive and responsive to the moment, and
a different aspect of myself you didn't know would come out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but
that's what Buzz Costin says. He says, "Bob, I've done YouTubes on Terrence McKenna, McLuhan, Robert Anton Wilson, Peter Lambeau Wilson." He says, "But they run out after a while. You are an endless fountain."
Yeah, I mean, frankly, Ion is fucking. He's saying the same fucking things to everybody so far I've heard. Now, Chad, Steve, and I. Like I mentioned to Ed, there's certain sort of core things that we're trying to get at or trying to understand, and there are certain primary issues that most human beings have it going on with money, social status, and
work
and all that stuff. And Ion has he has these metaphors. And if you don't mind me saying so, I find his metaphors to be not only simplistic, but I almost feel he's speaking to a junior high school person. I find that the whatever it is that underlies the words may be worth learning. This thing about having the solution show up at the same time as the problem, or really getting a deeper reality on the fact that I do have what I created, whether I'm happy with it or not. And but nevertheless, his metaphors and his teaching aids they almost feel patronizing, and it kind of pisses me off a bit.
Yeah, did you get that? He was doing that to Chad and Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, the thing is, since I've had many more hours, I would say that Ion is an endless fountain of stuff which you haven't had the privilege of hearing. Over time, you'll hear the variety, and this guy has many personalities that's coming through.
Well, you know, also, JW knows you, and so your relationship with Ion goes deeper. Now, my initial contact with Ion, since he really didn't ever know me before we spoke, was real. I'm sorry to say this. You may. I don't know if you can have a hard time hearing it, but it was unimpressive relative to my first contacts, telephone conversations I had with Lazarus. Now, I had been going to some of Lazarus' groups where people would show up and we'd spend a couple of days, and Lazarus would talk, and so I had already established a deeper level of relationship. Was a little more open to Lazarus before I spoke with him, but. I was looking for that quality in Ion and did not experience it. And yet, I hear you, what's going on in your relationship between you and Carolyn with Ion, and it sounds like it does go deeper. So.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal. And now, what did you think of Ion in the radio show?
Well, it was very enjoyable, and you know there is a quality of love and kindness that comes through. And I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, he's still a bit. He still talks to the audience as though he's loving us, but we're kind of childish because we don't. We're not. You know, he needs to talk to us, I find it. That he's, he's talking like at a junior high school level to his audience.
Right. Now, he said that talking about Friday, he purposely, quote, dumbed it down, kept it simple. And that's probably what Paul Sieber said in the first hour. He sounded platitudinous, and but then it got more complex. And as you listen, he does up the ante as the audience sort of gets used to him. But yeah, he dumbed it down, and it's not what people can experience. But they will when they have their private readings, or depending on their asking. But as we get more,
see, when he spoke with me, he didn't know anything about me. He may have assumed this was my first contact with non-phenomenal creature that refers to itself as we, as Lazarus did. And so maybe he felt, you know, we need to sort of gently ease this guy into it. But I'd already had, I'd spent like around 5 years with a high level of interest in the Lazarus thing, and I was ready to take it to the next two levels, and I wasn't getting that.
Well, the as you get to hear whatever performances, I think more will unfold. But he said with the audience, he knew he had a message that was contrary to Ray Land's audience. They're into the fundamentalist Christian, survivalist, patriotic, constitutional, blah blah blah.
Yeah, I realized from one of the commercials, about bearing arms and all that stuff. And then there was another commercial. The primary commercial was about vitamins and stuff, which was a more healthy message.
Right. So Ian knew the audience, tailored his message to the audience, kept it simple, but kept upping the ante slowly, so that Ray Land and them were saying, "Wow, this is amazing!" You know, by the third hour. And he said that the audience really said, "Whoa, we want more of this. This is actually plausible." Mm-hmm. So it was a big success. But yep, the humor of what he can do, like.
Well, I gotta tell you, this may just be a personal bias of mine that I'll work through, but I get a little irritated at the way he likes to laugh at his own thoughts.
Yeah. Well,
he'll say something that he thinks is like maybe blowing people's minds, and then he'll start chuckling to himself like he's pretty tickled with what he just said.
Yeah, but he might be responding to the instant audience response to what he said. He can feel it or know it. See, that I have witnessed, and so has Steve, Lord Buckley kinds of routines from Ion.
Mm-hmm.
You know Lord Buckley?
Yeah, I know of him, and I've probably heard him, but can't remember.
Anyways, real rapping, rhythmic, on and on and on, comedic miming of archetypal types of response to things.
Mm.
Like in the Elvis one, he did this whole Southern, "We ain't going to have this old rock and roll, our Christian boys, blah, blah, blah. You know, our Christian boys are not going to be subject to this, we're not going to have it." And it went on and on and on. He can do comedy.
And do you, knowing J.W., is he pulling from J.W.'s subconscious and biases? In other words, if J.W. was more conscious, is he just doing J.W. on a more conscious level, or is this something completely other?
I would say it was probably both. There is definitely J.W.'s, some of the things he says in life are coming through, but then the force and power and an other level. I don't know if J.W. can imitate, you know, Lord Buckley kind of voices.
No, but would it be consistent with with J.W.'s sense of humor and the way he thinks about the world if he was a performer or was more conscious?
Maybe. Might. Yeah, you know, the truism is that all mediums have the personality of the medium come into what's channeled.
Right.
And there definitely is some of that. There's Abraham's knowledge, which J.W. was interested in, Abraham's. But the responding to the moment is so... There's not a topic. It's like the Evergreens. There's not a topic that Ion can't go into which pushes whatever you think you knew about it. And adds to it. It is the encyclopedia mind, or knowing mind, knowing anything. I mean, I go Lockheed. He'll then go through all the parts of an airplane. You know what I mean? That you and I can't do.
Right.
Then you go, okay, the latest drug, and he'll name a drug that came out in the market yesterday, and go into how it'll affect all the different other drug side effects. Blah blah blah. Blah, go on.
Well, I will tell you, at the end of our conversation, we asked about this technology that EJ's developing, and he went into a mode of giving technological information about this sort of science of the electronic brain waves and what can happen and so on and so forth. But he wasn't even in the same ballpark as what EJ's doing with his equipment. And I found what he was saying to be totally irrelevant to what EJ's doing.
Well, it might be relevant just that EJ doesn't know it, because JW in James's reading told him to tell Edmund Storms what was wrong with his cold fusion experiment. He mentioned the technical details and said if he makes these adjustments, then Ion said, of course, he's not going to believe you, James, because you're not a scientist and not recognized, but that's the irony of it. Here it is. Just tell him this, and then he'll get cold fusion.
But I just know from what I know with what EJ's doing and what he's been talking about that EJ's developed this way beyond what... way beyond what Ion was noticed. Ion was saying that
Hey, Scott, look, that's a passing remark. If you call back and do an hour on EJ's stuff, then you'll get time and details. That's just a passing remark at the end of the reading, and it probably, in retrospect, I've been following what Ion does.
I'm just saying it was not. It was not relevant to what EJ's doing, and therefore, in my opinion, if he's not going to be accurate and precise and relevant to what is going on, then to bring in all this other knowledge about the subject and pass it off as being accurate is, I don't like that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was totally accurate and EJ doesn't know what he's doing. And EJ, you should play what he said.
I know, I've listened to it. He was saying that when you this interfering with the beta brain waves could begin to cause problems with REM sleeping patterns, and that could potentially lead to schizophrenia in someone who had a predisposition to schizophrenia. And what he was talking about is probably consistent with some people who do drugs. And it was such a weak analogy to what EJ's doing, and it did not do justice to the subject.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything about what EJ's doing, but in my intuition level, I thought, wow, that's right on.
Well, yeah, it sounded impressive, and it probably was relevant to brain research, but not to what EJ's doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Play it for EJ. Let EJ rant on about how fucked up it is.
Yeah. Well.
Test it.
I mean.
It might actually give EJ an idea. You never know what it's going to be.
No,
I mean, you have your interpretation.
Probably we should just move on from this subject. It's too hard for. I mean, if you really were interested to take 20 minutes and going into it, I'd give you a little more information about what EJ's doing, and you'd probably get the sense of how what Ion suggested was just puny.
Well, I would say that whatever EJ's doing is probably ridiculous, and that Ion's points were great. I mean, even though I don't know nothing about it, and but I'll have to listen sometime to the 22 minutes of your explanation of it.
Not tonight, but we'll do it sometime. Yeah.
And
we'll just put it this way: from my point of view, and you're not in a position to change my view because you don't know everything I know.
Yeah. Well, do you think you understand what EJ is doing?
Yeah. Well, I understand the theory behind it. Whether or not it actually is objectively true what he's doing, or whether or not he's bringing people who want to believe and who are already a little bit suggestible and so on and so forth, EJ knows a lot about how to manipulate people in those arenas, I don't know. I don't know whether or not, if an independent laboratory, an independent dream research laboratory tested his equipment and gave it some and did some objective tests on it, then I'd be willing, and said it was true, then I'd be willing to believe that there was physical objective reality around what he's doing. Nevertheless, the theory behind what he's doing, And what he's teaching about electronics and the various brainwave states from conscious to deep sleep and so on is it comes out of Dream Laboratories, and it's pretty interesting.
Right. So you're saying if you don't know if it's real or not, you understand the theory, but you'd wait for laboratory results whether you would agree with.
Yeah, that's why I haven't ordered one of his machines, because I'm not going to spend money on something that until I have some proof that it's real, and that it's not just people becoming part of the group mind of the EJ clan and then altering their consciousness because they're altering their beliefs and so on.
Yeah, you're not sure if it's just tuning in to what people expect or project on EJ and adapting to it.
Right, exactly. That's the way to put it.
Now, that's probably a truism, though. That happens all in every situation.
Right.
And that's the suggestive power of everything. I mean, Ion has been pointing that out different times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Everett said. The most powerful thing in human existence is the suggestiveness or suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, it's...
Well, I wanted to say, listen, I'm excited that you're doing the nine-minute things that they plan to go up on the website. I just want to volunteer, unless somebody already has, to create a website for that purpose.
Right. We're looking into that now. JW has different people he knows about. Who knows? That might come in. That might be handy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If I did it, my impulse would be to just copy the Dobbstown website, but then have it be Conversations with Ion. It would be a separate website, but it would have similar structure.
Right. Yeah, the we have to talk to the webmaster of a company to get the basic structure, and then I don't know who we're going to have to design it.
Okay.
So there's that, and what else? Any news in your life? What's going on? Just studying.
Yeah, pretty much. It's interesting. You and Eddie were talking about the distinction between, you know, being focused and precise on one level, and then living with ambiguity on another level. I'm in this process of training myself to be focused and precise, because what I'm studying requires that you be very precise. If you're not precise, you don't get results.
Right.
So it's something that I'm learning, and because I've probably tended to be sort of a little mushy and unfocused for the most part. So it's an exercise for me to learn how to do that.
So what else is going on?
Did you talk to Ben last Sunday, Ben Watson?
No, he's been away for 2 weeks. I just got an email. We're starting again this week.
Oh, good, because I checked his website and he didn't put it up, and
he sent an email today saying there's two shows up, but I think that's his show, not the one I'm part of. I don't know what he's referring to. Can't be our tapings. I don't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe just shows that he put in the can while he was away, or I don't know.
Right.
I can forward the email to you. You can see if it leads anywhere.
Yeah, sure. I don't know that it matters. I'll find out when you guys... As long as he posts it when you guys have your talk.
Yeah. They're all posted, the ones we've done.
Yeah.
Have you heard them all?
Yeah, 1 through 8.
So what do you think of the way it's going?
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he also is trying to pin Bob to the ground, man. He's trying to wrestle you down. He's trying to pin your shoulders, and Bob just keeps slipping out of all of his holds, just like a greased pole.
Yeah, I say 3 words, and he immediately leaps on me and tries to pin me down.
I know, and he's a good, he's a strong guy in that area. I mean, he has very well-defined...
he's almost too strong. He has very good categories, but then he overdoes it and spills over. you know?
Yeah.
He pins me down, then he takes a big rock and crushes my skull, and then the ref says, no, that's fucking illegal. You can't crush Bob's skull. This is just wrestling. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I catch him. Oh, 2 points for me, Ben. You just blew it. You just threw prodded weapons that aren't relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm doing rope-a-dope on him.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Hey, what happened with the whole CKLN? That just disappeared, and I never heard how it got resolved or what happened.
It's even more absurd. It's been off the. It was off the air for a couple, like 6 weeks or something. Just nothing. Dead air.
Yeah.
It was sporadic, and then now it's back on, and they're having lawyers, and Greg is right in the middle of it. It's fantastic letters he writes to the board, and it's very heroic what he's doing, and it's really complicated and too much to say. Just it's ongoing. It's still not resolved, and Greg's doing fine in it. I tell him that he should make a movie out of it. He's got all kinds of great footage, and he's thinking seriously of doing that. It could be a great documentary.
Oh, sure.
Drama is pretty microcosm of everything.
Right.
So, no, it's ongoing, and the station is dead, and everybody's lost, and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can resolve it. They're trying to resolve it because a new president of Ryerson Student Union is coming in May 1st, so they're waiting this week. Supposed to be some kind of resolution, but it'll require criminal deal-making, and Greg's ex-wife is on the board, and they're not going to be able to get away with it. Well, she's a witness of it, and she's not part of their corruption, so they're in a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, one of Greg's main enemies had to call him and ask Greg a few questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have to, because Greg's the real station manager. He's the only one who knows more than anybody else. So they were feeling Greg out to see what his ex-wife was going to do, but Greg ain't falling for that. So
right,
it's just like a dramatic Godfather movie. You know, the different mafias are spying on each other, trying, making meetings, pretending they're allies, but not really being allies. You know, that's all going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably the only person Greg spells it out in detail to, but he said today that he likes doing that because talking to me helps him get a clarification of what's going on, just because I give him a sounding board.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Best sounding board around.
Yeah, yeah. Most attentive, loving, compassionate listener around.
Yeah, what does Eddie say, and ruthless at the same time or
yeah,
something
relentless.
Like that. Relentless. Relentless, yeah.
So, won't hesitate to sucker punch you, you know, every now and then.
Yeah. one thing, you know, what's her name? Raylan tried to pin Ion down, and I'm wondering if you have, because it's still not clear. You know, if you die and you return to the Guff and become part of the we that Ion is, then how come people see ghosts and stuff? I mean,
that's right. There's still more to work on that, and like the Steve Reimer, you heard the ghost thing from Steve Reimer,
right? Right.
Well, Steve told me the other day his mother visited, and his great aunt is not a ghost; is still alive.
Right.
So I don't know what.
Well, my uncle's still alive, and with Steve Reimer, the first thing I said, "Does anybody on the other side want to talk to me?" He goes, "Your uncle," and right up, I knew something was off with that. And then with Steve, he said to Steve, he goes, "The last thing Steve goes is there anything else you want to say to me?" And he goes, "Yeah, your uncle wants to talk to you." And Steve's like, "I don't have an uncle." He goes, "There's a guy who was kind of like an uncle to me," and then
the neighbor.
Yeah. So I don't know what's up with all of that.
Yeah. No. There's many ways to look at it. Evergreens. George Randall told me that the Evergreens, over years, he had the most readings. He thought the Evergreens would fuck up predictions so that people would not be just running to them for their accuracy, for their predictions. And everyone knew that wasn't important. So,
well, in my case, I wasn't asking him.
No, not the other case. Forget, Scott.
Okay.
I'm telling you about George. It's a factor to think in that the Ion, if they're equal to the Evergreens, they're doing that, is that George Reynolds said the Evergreens, if they wanted to be, was so precise it would scare the shit out of you. But they often didn't get precision and were wrong. And he felt, and I don't know if the Evergreens agreed with him, that the Evergreens did do that. Maybe they did say that. They did. They would purposely make mistakes, so people say, "Oh, okay, they're just a normal medium, fallible." But they did that, so if people thought they could know everything exactly, then the Evergreens would not be able to do their purpose, was to get you out of not obsessing with accuracy from an external source.
Yeah.
So there's that level, and I don't know if Ion's doing that who knows? But I'm pretty. Ion, as you get involved with them, knows a lot. He knows way ahead of what you do. Often, you know, often I'll go along talking, and then I'll switch it, and he'll go, yes. And I said, you know what I'm going to say? He said, yeah. And then I'll say, and then he'll have an answer for it. But he's got ESP way, you know, X-ray, totally UFO fucking X-rays.
Yeah.
total knowing of everything. And it could be, like the Evergreens, they planted things in George Reno for years that would be relevant 10 years later.
Well, Lazarus did that with me. I mean, think patterns that I have been playing out in my life since I haven't spoken to him since I was 30 years old. But he was accurate up. He was accurate with patterns in my life up until the time when I spoke with him, and said that he would say to people that we're telling you things that are you'll continue to discover over your lifetime, and that was true for me.
Well, if he was channeling non-physical, then that's true. If it's a real medium, there have been lots of real mediums through history.
Yeah.
If he was a real medium, then...
No, Lazarus' fundamental message was no different than Ion's. I mean, it was clear to me that they live in the same space. Whether or not they're the same entity, I can't...
What was Lazarus' message?
In the essence that you create your reality, that the first thing that you're here to do is to learn how to have fun, you know.
Yeah, probably my conversation with Ion could be interesting and become the new Socrates dialogue or something, because I've got a way of explaining why the astral body is limited to his perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and that's making it so Ion came through and said, well, Bob's a good contender. Let's fucking take him on. He'll make this interesting.
Well, that's why I interrupted your conversation with Eddie to say that, look, the astral plane is one quarter of Bob's chart. It's the interplay of the four parts that's interesting. Then you put the astral plane in context. You don't make it bigger than you. You make it part of you.
Yeah. So yes, you're your own creator, but that is that ideology is marketed by Apple.
Yeah.
You know, so that wisdom...
Well, Apple's been pretty successful.
Right, but they're creating technology that, from Ion's point of view, is really not causing problems, but there's a lot of weirdness going on that needs some clarity. So that's why I'm hooking up the astral body. Their, quote, simple message probably needs to be brought in at appropriate times. But it is from the realm of communication, which Ed was trying to get at. It's been duped or run up by the Android meme, if you think... If we're moving towards technology, we don't need Apple. We don't need that. If we're moving to ESP technology, we don't need Apple. So, Apple's...
Yeah, but we're not there yet. I mean, we've been moving towards ESP since I started talking to Lazarus in the early 80s. So, and he started talking about that stuff in the 70s. So, we're not there yet.
Ah, but we technologically are. That's the interesting problem for the astral plane.
Oh, yeah.
The S-plane saying, these guys are one-upping our ESP. Well, we better go back in with a bigger, more powerful impact so people remember the first nature ESP or whatever the hell the S-plane thinks is ESP.
Yeah. Well, the non-phenomenal world would ipso facto be prior to, a priori to, all phenomenal manifestation, technological or otherwise.
Yeah, and it surrounds it. Includes it all. That's going to happen in the phenomenal world.
Yeah, I mean, what's Ion's relationship to this world, such that he gets off on participating by talking to you or anybody?
That's what we were trying to get in with Ed. You'll hear it at the end of the thing. It's like they want to create with us, even though they don't create. See, that's I don't know. I'm trying to. I talked to him about that. Just, where, how are you not part of this? Why are you here now? And what's in it for you? Since you don't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it, so then that's the only knowable human thing is, well, the internet, the Android meme scrambly things, like I used to say, the UFOs and the astral plane are trying to stay in the game. They're claiming they're interested, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. you've got the interesting perspective on this, but you see, it was, see, that's why I got, you know, after I went through my Lazarus phase, I started, and then I heard, Terrence was the first person I heard who started questioning, well, what is all this astral stuff anyway? How do we know it's just not, this thing that we call the other isn't just our own deep self, you know?
You went from Lazarus, and then the anti-environment was Terrence McKenna. Was there something between me and Terrence McKenna?
No, and then I heard, and then I heard you, and you seem to be
battling.
No, you seem to be orbiting Terrence.
Yeah, I was. You may not have known right away that I had the evergreens, but yeah, I was subsuming Terrence.
Yeah,
yeah. But I was wondering, was John Lilly in between Terrence and me?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah. It was, I got into Lilly
probably after Lazarus and before Terry.
Terrence? No, I sort of was learning about Lilly. I learned about Lilly before I found out about Lazarus.
Ah, so it began with Lilly, then went into Lazarus, then Terrence, then me.
Yeah. But of course there was overlap, because Lilly was still writing Scientist in the late 70s, I think. And
well, you could take those four and put them on the quadrants. Lilly is LaRouche. Lazarus is Thompson, Terrence is McLuhan, and Bob is Croker or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. And then Rumpelstiltskin is all those four plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Very good.
All right. Okay, so it was fun with Ed. I'm hoping to get more. I think Ed's going to be a star. I think people are going to love his stuff.
I think it's the most fun Bob stuff yet.
Yeah, and I knew it would be. That's why we had to keep him in the wings and get through everybody else. Now Bob Marshall roars in.
Yeah, he's the best guy to. Because the other stuff we were doing, you were interviewing all these people, and now the guy who can really sort of
co-create
with Bob.
Yeah, so that I hope there will be cases where we talk over each other, but I think it's okay. You know, we.
Oh no, it's not. It's not an issue at all.
Yeah, we seem to be okay.
It's just. It's actually. It's kind of amazing how facile Eddie is with Bob's reality. How much he's learned from you, and how much of it he's taken in.
Yeah.
He's still Bob's little brother, but.
Yeah, but he saw it all, so he's the perfect guy to be able to do it because he witnessed it before anybody else did.
Yeah, and, you know, hearing the reality of his childhood and his father's life and all of that, there was a lot there to have to, you know, if he was going to survive all of that, he needed a big brother, and you were the guy.
Yeah. And so, yes, Father provided the contrast, and I was the solution, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, good. So that's there. Did you like the Eben show I did last Saturday, Wednesday, whatever it was? Talked about Ion.
Yeah, I'm really. I got to give a shout. I'm actually impressed with Eben's ability to. Her fluidity and her flexibility, you know. I mean, after she gets off the phone with you, she's doing some political show and she's taking sides, you know, us and them and the Illuminati and all this kind of stuff. And then she brings Bob in and she just goes right with it and there's no resistance there. It's pretty amazing. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah, what did I talk about? I can't even remember what the hell I was on about. Oh, much swine flu? Did I do swine? No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you mentioned the swine flu, I think probably, I don't know if you did or not. But,
Ion? Did I talk about Ion?
Yeah, you told her the new channel and how all that came about. You gave some details that I didn't know about how you got the whole thing going with JW, and that you bring in Ion on the show next week.
Yeah.
And that's pretty magnificent, you know, you're just broadcasting him out into the...
Yeah.
Into the radio waves for all to hear.
Yeah, the JW said that Esther Hicks, who channels Abrahams, was on Oprah's radio show. Oprah wouldn't let her on the TV. That was too powerful. But when she was on the radio, it was all pre-scripted. No question. No spontaneity. this is a first for a medium on there with total spontaneity and letting it open and no timidity about it.
I don't think it's too powerful for TV. I think channels look stupid on TV. I mean, you can really sit there. I mean, if I saw Lazarus or anybody on TV channel, I mean, I respect Lazarus because I have experienced him, but I know if I saw Lazarus on TV, I remember they published some Lazarus videos. I remember he looked stupid in the videos, and he would look even more stupid on TV.
Because he's just sitting there. He just sits
because
there.
He's sitting there, and, you know, and he's, and the message is trying to reach the general consensus of reality, which is so mixed up that it wouldn't make any sense of it, and half of it would be hating it, and I'd be thinking about it in terms of what everybody's thinking about it. I mean, when I would go hang out and sit in a group with Lazarus, we already agreed that we were all there for the same reason, so we could create a reality together that was kind of interesting, but to just broadcast that into the TV landscape, and, you know, it just, well, I don't know, and probably, I'll bet Oprah just didn't want to take the heat for looking ridiculous, and that's why she wouldn't put him on TV.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, her, Oprah, yeah. I mean, Oprah would have, what's his face on? The guy who, the new Be Here Now guy.
Eckhart Tolle,
you know, she'd have him on. But he's, you know, a human being with his eyes open. He's not channeling from some other dimension.
Right. Now, here's the thing. J.W. walks all over the house, goes outside, plays the rain. I mean, he would be a different thing. He wouldn't be sitting there. He'd be walking up and down the audience, going back.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing where I'm getting the sense of maybe the dimensions are thinning, because Lazarus, Jack would slip into trance really easy. I'd see people slip into trance, and it would be like a big fucking deal. Like their body, like the earth, they'd have like tremors in their bodies, and all kinds of weird things would happen. And Jack would just quietly slip into Lazarus. But Lazarus didn't move the body a lot. As time went on, Lazarus would begin to move the body. Now, I haven't seen him for 30 years. I think he could be dancing a jig by now, for all I know. But, you know, he would, but the eyes were closed, and Jack's person, Jack was gone. And now with JW and Ion are kind of merged, you know? I mean, when at the end of the session, when JW comes back, you think to yourself, am I still talking to Ion, or is this JW? I mean, they kind of seem like the same. There's a closer proximity between the waking state of the channel and the deep trance of the...
Yeah, JW is unconscious, but he walks around and looks like... That would astound people, this guy walking around talking as if he's right there, but he it shows the thinning of the veil, but he doesn't even know... We get a few pictures after the reading, but I have to tell him what the hell is discussing. He's amazed.
Oh, really? He doesn't hear everything he's saying?
Oh, no, he doesn't know any of it.
Huh.
He gets pictures, and then he tells, well, I saw this, well, what was that about? He doesn't even know why the picture's there.
Wow.
His main image is, this is what he does see. A question is asked, and immediately, I don't know who, the room he's in fills up with banker's boxes.
Uh-huh.
And he has to go over, and that's the blocks of thought coming in, and he has to go over and pick out the right file folder. And he does. Goes over, and then someone asks another question. More boxes come in. So he eventually has to leave a room because the room's all filled up with boxes. So he goes to another room in his house. And then he goes through the same process there. Is it always filling up with boxes?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what he's hallucinating, or that's what his mind is seeing. That's his experience. And he knows he when he first started, he reported the first few days, he said, shit, man, was I talking real slow? I said, no, it was going on real good. He says, it's fucking painful. No, it wasn't. He's in bliss, but he says, it's arduous. All this blocks of thoughts come in, and I got to figure out how to put it into English or to a sentence, and it seems like it takes hours to get the sentence out. And then later, he reported that he would go and find the file folder, or he imagined he'd go and find the right file. So Ed, in his reading, he said, I want to talk to McClune, Baudrillard, and name the third person.
Uh-huh.
I knew, fuck, don't do it like all at once, do it one by one. And so JW reported that when he named three people, three rooms instantly filled up.
Oh, wow.
with banker's boxes on each person.
It is kind of like the internet, downloading files.
Yeah, it's a modern, he's a total post-Android meme situation here.
Yeah.
So it would be odd for him. I think Ramtha walked around. I think I saw an image of Ramtha standing on TV once.
But now, I never trusted Ramtha, and I still don't to this day.
Well, I checked out with the Evergreens, and yeah, Ramtha was, something came through the beginning, but it was fake from
Twitter. That's what people were saying way back in the 80s.
It was fake later.
Yeah, that's what people were saying way back in the 80s.
But the so Jada was walking around. He cooks food. He gets drink. He needs to drink a lot of water during. You hear the noisy crushed water coming through while we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
You would think that he's totally faking it.
Yeah.
Okay, he's just pretending he's trans because he's walking around being a human. But when you hear what he says, no human mind could say that as fast and in detail.
Right.
I mean, it's just encyclopedic and vast things. And and then the ESP, like, I told the story how he saw Steve walking down the hallway.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, Steve came up one night and sat in on it.
Is Steve there now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Steve, after an hour or two, he left the room, and he goes, this is up the second floor, and then he goes downstairs, and I figured he was going to get something to drink or eat or shit or piss or something, because he'd been here for an hour or two. And as he's walking down the aisle, hallway, Ion says to me and Carolyn, is Steve not able to take it anymore? She says, Steve had enough? Okay. So we did not say Steve was leaving. Ion saw Steve leaving. When Steve came back and I told him what Ion said, he was shocked. He saw me leaving, yep.
Hmm.
And then I tell the story, I say, yeah, and the other day, I left the room, went to the bathroom. And I didn't tell Ion I left the room. And then Ion said, well, Bob's in the bathroom, I'll ask him this when he comes back. So he saw it. So I talked to JW. I said, you can see us? And he says, yeah. He said, JW gets pictures of us, but Ion sees the action.
Or just it's just a big energy configuration, and he sees it moving around or something on an energetic plane or something.
Yeah, but Ion can see colors and hear the birds and everything, and he could hear it through the phone, but he's tuned in to the birds more than we are.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Well, I hope that I am able to mature to the stage where I can have more of that experience of him. Right now, I'm stuck in whatever my own subconscious resistance is.
Well, if you get enough money, ram a reading down yourself. See what happens. Take a different tack towards it.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to already know that I'd already opened up or that something had changed before I would do that. Otherwise, there's no point. I'm not going to spend money to have to repeat this experience I already had with him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Now, there was something about it. Okay, so he can see. I don't know. I think there was some other aspect that was going to tell you.
Something else he saw, or...
Yeah, there's some stuff I can't talk about that
yeah.
He's showing us. I don't want to go into it yet, but the... okay, so you're... No, I don't know what it is. Anyways, he sees here... He sees what's going on. Sees all.
Well, awesome. I mean, you are the man. I mean, to be able to bring this. I mean, here's the thing that I think is really cool. If even though I still have some suspended ideas about Ion that I haven't finished up how I feel or think about him. But nevertheless, if for filling out the four quadrants, you found a dandy for the astral.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're fleshing out your chart, man, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm really happy it's happening. It fleshes out the chart. I mean, I could only play the Evergreens a little bit on the radio, but to have hours and hours of stuff, for free so far, that's what's incredible. That's
Thing
of the veil.
And it came out of your wanting.
Yes. I apparently needed to have some more contact with the non-physical.
Yeah.
And then, wait, what
Well, you know, that's why it was us always, and whenever anybody asked why he was here, I mean, what was he doing here? He said he came to talk to Penny, this woman who was married to the Channel Jack. You know, he came for this one person, and she wanted to share him, and that's how it all got started.
Yeah, it reminds me, J.W. did point it out. He said, why did every stop? Why did any of these mediums, like J.W. says, I don't know why anybody would stop. And Ion himself was said, you know, we ain't, all those guys conked out. Ion's saying that he ain't conking out.
Yeah.
He's going to be the greatest medium in some way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you don't have to go in elaborate channeling. The guy, J.W. just conks out very quickly. But there was another point. You said, Lazarus came to talk. Shit. I just want to say that he was, he doesn't see why someone would stop channeling.
Right.
Because it feels so good, why would you stop? He doesn't know why Michael Blake Reed stopped.
Well, yeah, I know. That was something that always seemed odd to me, that Michael Blake Reed eventually burned out, because Jack, the guy that Purcell, that channels Lazarus, that guy's radiant today after doing this, you know, for 40 years.
Oh, he's still alive.
Oh, yeah, he's still doing it.
Where does he live?
I don't know. I'd have to check. He's lived in different places. Last time I knew it was Florida, but I don't know.
Where were you when you were with him? L.A.?
Yeah, he started doing the weekend retreats and stuff in L.A., and then as the demand grew, he was flying around the country and then around the world and doing it.
And he turned on Shirley MacLaine?
No, I don't know that Shirley knew about him. Lazarus.
Well, what years did you first encounter him? What's your dates on that?
Well, he started, I think, around 74, 75, but I encountered him around 1980.
Okay. Well, it's the same with me. Evergreen started in 74, and I encountered him in 1980.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that you had that medium kind of contact, so...
Yeah.
And so you hung around him.
Yeah, I was involved for about 5 years, I guess, when I'd go travel around and do his retreat things, or his... Sometimes it'd be one evening, sometimes it'd be a couple days, and then I had some private time with him on the phone.
So that is, you're born in 56, so you were 24.
Kind of. Yeah, between about 24 and 30 was the years that I was pretty involved.
So when I talked about the Evergreens, you'd never really mentioned Lazarus before. When I talked about the Evergreens, you had a similar experience.
Oh, yeah. No, I bought the Evergreens tapes, and was not that impressed with the Evergreens, but you were insistent that they were the best around, and I thought, well, maybe it just depends on your ability to interact. I mean, I'm sure you could get stuff out of the Evergreens that I could never get out of them because of where of the way your mind works and how you can open them up and they can open up to you and vice versa.
Yeah, that's a big factor, they said. They need good asker. That's a law. The asker determines the quality of the reading.
Oh, yeah. Well, John Lilly used to say that all. He said that the quality of the answer is in direct relation to the quality of the question.
Yeah. So, but it's not just a question, it's an energy interaction and allowing, like I apparently have allowed all this phenomena to happen to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I allowed that I was talking to McLuhan, allowed that I could talk to Zappa, and it happened. Of course, it stuns most of the world, right? He never talked to Zappa. How could that be? Well, that guy is
right.
Nerd.
Well, and now that it's part of your experience, it seems natural. So if you want it, you don't have any thought that you can't do it.
That's right. And so if we want to have something come back, see, Lazarus couldn't talk to McLuhan through Lazarus, probably, right?
Well, I'm sure you could.
But nobody thought of it, right?
I never thought of it, but my mind was pretty immature when I was 24 years old.
So, assuming that it's pretty rare, you can get McLuhan and these people to come through, like I did with the Evergreens. That's why I just thought the Evergreens were great. The only ones who could do it, the Willows didn't seem to be able to do it. So then, my wanting was to be able to talk to these people on a new level, and that happened.
Yeah, and more to come.
Yeah.
And Worcester, David Worcester, is going to fight you to the end. Ah, that's a bunch of shit.
Yeah, and Bob Carr will even be worse.
Yeah. And there's never been any follow-up with Doug Carr, huh?
No, but that's up to me to call him, but I haven't. I'll give him space. I haven't thought of it at all.
Yeah.
And Willie, he wants
to... See, that was something that I can... See, now I can only really share that with you. The xenocracy that occurred when I saw Fringe, and of course you said Walter intervened, and then the Doug Carr thing. I mean, that was real. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for verification.
Yeah. Well, the J.W.'s wife, who's only that was what I wanted to say. You're going to be surprised when you find out who J.W. really is. That's another mind blower.
Uh huh.
But that's to become. I don't know when that'll come out.
But Eddie knows, huh?
No, I don't think Ed knows.
I thought he said during, when you were just talking with him, he said, yeah, I recognized his voice immediately.
No, just tonight he said that?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Ed knows.
Oh, well, he thinks he does.
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks. I'll have to check that. But the, was I going to tell you?
His wife or something?
So I met his wife once.
Whose wife, J.W.?
Yeah. And so she knows what I look like. Well, the other day, I mean, J.W. recognized that I was the Fringe Walter, you know, that was me, plus the Walter Boer, but he sees me there. His wife, I don't know if she watches The Fringe, but he said a couple weeks ago she walked by the TV and he was watching The Fringe, and the wife says, is that Bob? Bob's on TV, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that was me.
Yeah, yeah. And 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, since it starts at 9 o'clock when you do your transdimensional melting titanium, the whole show was about ESP. It was really funny.
That's good. That would have been the second titanium.
Yeah. It was all about all this extrasensory people entering into each other's dream lives and doing weird extrasensory perception things and stuff. It was all diabolical. I mean.
Right, but I when you sent me the picture of him last week around that time before the second titanium, is it three? Have I done three? Don't know.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyways, I said, they're probably going to have all about ESP or something. I actually said that before the show. Now you're telling me that happened.
Yeah. Well, the show, that's always, there's always some weird oversoul, weird interplay ESP going on. That's just the theme of the show. But this one was this show.
Is it about technological ESP that's included from the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, that's even more about me than that. I didn't know I had ESP, Android meme ESP, right?
Yeah, but the implication is that there's a diabolical Illuminati type evil genius going on behind the scenes, but nobody knows what it is. So it's sort of Android meme.
Yeah, I would say that. That showed up this summer, so then Bob had to create an anti-environment to it. The Android meme said, okay, top this one, Bob. We're going to do you doing ESP. And I said, oh, fuck you. I'll get real ESP and counter it. So that's the battle going on right there.
Yeah, it's funny that they both started at the same time, that show and your thing, and then the Walter intervention, and then Ion.
Yeah, no, it's...
And you're doing the melting titanium the same time the show's on, at least on the West Coast.
Yeah. No, everywhere. All over the world.
Well, I don't know what time the show's on in other time zones.
Right, right. But, okay, so, yeah, so J.W. recognizes the irony of it. We haven't gone into it, but he says, you know, it's you, Bob. You walk around, stumbling around, don't know what you're doing, but creating all this amazing phenomena.
Yeah.
But maybe I do know what I'm doing, but we'll see. So there it is. The Android meme is said, okay, here's Bob. This is Bob in right now. He's going to go ESP, but it's all bad. Ignore Bob. And then Bob said, fuck you. We'll put our guy on. You want to play that game? Okay. We got Ion.
Right.
I have to talk to JW about that. I didn't know it was ESP, really. So he watches it and. Oh, okay, I'm gonna ask Ion about that, about the Android meme effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Ion is competent to answer that question.
Yeah.
I think this is bigger than Ion.
What? Bob's bigger than Ion.
Well, the whole Android meme perception, the fact that you recognize the Android meme and all of its implications and so on.
Yeah, and then it's
the Ion's having fun talking to you, but he doesn't. He's not in this reality.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.